It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, we have a special guest, James Otto. James Otto is an attorney. Now, he's a civil rights attorney, but, he has an interesting question for us all that I want to discuss. It is certainly timely, and it's more than unemployment ratings. It's, what should your government be doing about it? Where are we? We keep looking to them, they, those, and say, save us. And I'm not really, as a libertarian, I'm like not looking for them to save us. But you know what? Let me tell you what I don't want. I don't want them putting a gun to my forehead, taking my money, and then using it to employ somebody else outside of the country. I mean, and that's what James has concerns about, and he's going to tell us all about. I got you there, James?
Yeah, I'm here.
James, is that pretty much it in a nutshell? I mean, is that what you're advocating is that we understand what's really going on, that our tax money is being used in the building of our infrastructure and so on to not employ American citizens? And I was thinking at first when I saw this story, I thought it would be something like, we're shipping over the service sector into India, English speaking, whatever, in some foreign land, or, taking high tech jobs here doing computer coding or something like that. But that's not what you're talking about. You're talking about actually physically hiring citizens of another country to come here and work. Am I getting that right?
You're absolutely right.
Well, tell me how that happening. What are we talking about here? How is that happening?
Well, we're talking about the U.S. admitting into this country over 2 million foreign laborers every year because U.S. employers want to tap into the low-cost market overseas. The U.S. government is going along with that, and that's just not my conclusion. I'm looking at government documents. For example, the Department of Homeland Security keeps track of each and every person who enters this country and the reason for their entry. And so in their annual report, the 2010 annual report, it shows how many people were admitted into this country because they had jobs with U.S. employers.
Okay, now let me ask you, this is an issue that comes up politically, even in the presidential race, and it hasn't really hit a lot of headlines, but since I do a news site and so on, we kind of come across a lot of this stuff. There is a big issue that certainly I've seen Mitt Romney addressed by this. Do you believe in, and there's some name for this, it's a card, it's an authorization for a waiver for certain people with certain skills to come here and work and, do cheap work for some big corporations because they can't. And of course, the argument is that we can't find qualified workers that are U.S. citizens to do these jobs. Well, yeah. From my philosophical perspective, I really don't care where somebody takes their money and hires someone to do whatever they want. I really don't care. I don't think it's the job of the government to decide who you can or cannot enter into a voluntary contract with. A consensual contract with another human being. I don't care. What I'm concerned with is that it's not just that. It's taking my tax money, that they've taken from me by force, and then you know, meandering it through the system in such a way that they make sure that they get, you know, a cheaper bridge built with foreign labor, you know. And so tell me about how that how is it that it's more than just the government is saying, okay, you can, you know, hire this guy, but not this guy. I mean, the fact that they even have preference or some government bureaucrat decides who can or can't work here based on whatever and how I get to spend my money, that's a problem right there. You know, I'm seeing that, but it's more than that. You know, are we having public works being done with foreign labor?
Oh, yes, yes. For example, the case that I'm doing right now is a major lawsuit against Molina Healthcare, which is a U.S. government-supported Medicare and Medi-Cal provider. They rake in over $2 billion a year of U.S. tax money. Their only source of income are U.S. tax dollars. And they have gone out with, in conjunction with a company called Cognizant Technology Solutions, which is a U.S. corporation wholly owned by Indian nationals, whose sole purpose in being is to import Indians into the United States to work in America and take U.S. jobs. Molina teamed up with them and fired over 200 American workers simply to replace them, because they wanted to replace them solely with Indians. The Americans in Molina and Americans across this country are being segregated out of the workforce. You know, one could say that in Rosa Parks' day and age, she protested because she was forced to sit in the back of the bus. Today, U.S. workers aren't even allowed on their own bus in their own country. They are excluded because they are Americans. How did this happen? And again, to address your point before I talk about the next issue, is that Molina, who collects these billions of dollars, U.S. dollars, tax monies from you and me, are sending that overseas to pay off these foreign laborers. Okay, now they're bringing in the laborers into the United States, but, you know, and they're being paid with U.S. tax dollars, but these folks have no intention of staying. So they're sending U.S. dollars back home.
Oh, no, I have complete understanding. You know, this is, I'll tell you how this happens. You know, they're going, I tell you how. It's really simple. What they do is that you'll have some government program, and to make it work, because they don't know what the heck they're doing, they will hire some private contractor that's, you know, somebody of a friend of a former roommate, and they say, you know what, we will take care of this for you. You give us this block amount of money, and we will get you a reduction in your cost of health care, which later it turns out not to be because it's monopolized. But you say, we are going to provide you with the workers at 70% of whatever you're paying for them now. And you won't have to get, because they're contracted through me, and I don't provide them with whatever the same benefits or have to because of some law that you passed. It could be even cheaper, 70%. So they go to this guy and they say, you're the man. Here's a gazillion dollars for you to fill these positions. And, oh, you need a little piece of paper from me that says you can hire these people in your country to come over. Not a problem. You know, we got congressmen for that. Okay? So they pass that. They do that. Here we go. So here you have a government program, healthcare, that has a government-signed contract with a foreign company to have foreign labor come here to take American jobs. I completely understand. And this is the kind of thing that people are begging for. They don't understand, when you get away from the free market, you have the government manipulating all this kind of stuff with your money and foreign laborers coming into this country taking American jobs. Thank you, Uncle Sam. Okay? So I understand perfectly what's the solution. Get government out of health care. Get government out of freaking everything. And the fact that you're using government force to not only take my money to begin with, and then they decide how it's reallocated, and just to complain about who they're reallocating it to is just, you know, it doesn't get to the root of the problem. The root of the problem is all this government. So that's my opinion. But, you know, let's go ahead and go on. I'm sure you have a lot of other issues. Let's talk about your practice a little bit. How, as a, you know, civil attorney, did this get into your life?
Well, I've been practicing civil rights for a long time, over 20 years. And this came to me because somebody who was getting fired from Molina realized that what was going on, that it was really not a just situation, that they didn't have equal opportunity to remain employed. And so they went to their daughter, who was just newly passed the bar, and so she started to search around for people who were prominent in the civil rights, for attorneys who were prominent in the civil rights arena. And my name kept coming up. We interviewed. I talked to all my clients and our potential clients, and I realized what was going on. And you know, it's really quite unfair. There are laws in this country that prohibit segregation for wrongful reasons.
Well, let's go ahead and let's discuss that. You know, the merits of the case. You know, here you have someone that, you know, because a lot of this is PR. That's why you're on this show. You know, that's why, you know, it's you know, we just need to understand the injustice of this. But, you know, I want to make sure we get down, and we got plenty of time. We're going to go until, you know, we're boring to the audience. But, you know, we haven't even got close to that yet. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and discuss what is the real problem and how government should be involved in this, if at all. And the fact that they are, you have someone that feels that they are damaged. I am damaged. I do not have the ability to equally compete for this job. And I'm thinking, now think about it, as an employer, I'm going, you know, it's my job. I get to do whatever I want with my job. I own the job. The job is mine. You own your labor. I have somebody comes out, you know what? I want your labor because you're good looking. You're blonde. You're buxom. You've got long legs. Or I prefer you to be studious and wear horn-rimmed glasses and have short hair and, you know, to be black with blue eyes and always wear a gun. I mean, you know, whatever the condition that I do for me to give my job to that person is up to me. That's my position. But we're in a different, at least gray, if not, you know, black and white as far as I'm concerned. You know, this is very clear. You have government money that's being used, and what they're doing is saying we're not going to have, as a criteria, government taxpayer money going to United States taxpayer citizens to take this job. We're going to open it up to these people. So the question right there is, you go, is that a good idea? And even if it was a good idea, if it saves money, if it does all this other stuff, is that a proper role of government? Should they even be in a position to make that kind of decision? I say no. So we're looking at this individual that's in this situation, U.S. taxpayer money being taken from them to go to an outside foreign citizen to come here and take jobs. That in and of itself is not necessarily bad, except the fact that it's your government using your money to do it. So I'm wanting to know, in the civil law, is there some, other than the fact that it's just a stupid idea, bad PR for the government, bad idea, I need to know, is there some principle of law that they're violating?
Yes. You start off with the fact that the Constitution says that all men are created equal. And then throughout the centuries of this country, we've developed the notion that everybody gets a fair and equal shot at good opportunities, and especially employment. And in these cases, in my specific cases, and in all these other cases, what's happening is American citizens are excluded from the job market.
Why?
You don't have, because they are simply Americans, because these companies want to bring in these Indians or Chinese or third world countries because they found a way to make it profitable for them. For example,
money. It's because it's cheaper.
Well, yeah, but you know, these folks from overseas, they're making less than $10,000 a year, U.S. dollars. And so when they're given an opportunity to come to the United States and make $50,000, they're going to U.S. dollars. They're going to jump at it. Of course they're going to jump at it.
No, I understand. I need to know if there's other incentives. I give you an example. Does this company house them and put them in bunk houses or something? Are they excluded from certain type? Do they have to pay Social Security? Are they cheaper because the government has given them some kind of a waiver and free ride on some other thing? You see my point? You know,
right.
Do they make it to where the United States worker can't, by a design disadvantage in law, and policy and whatever to make it to where they can't compete with them? Or are you saying they're just so used to a lower standard of living, six of them in a one-bedroom apartment is like luxury to them, and they can compete that way?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, that's exactly what's happening is these foreign laborers will come over, and first off, they don't get paid what they're legally obligated to be paid, and so they're making about one-third less of that. Then they do live six to a room, and, you know, they have one car, one old dilapidated car that they drive back and forth from work, and that's their standard of living. Also, they don't demand overtime. You know, if you demand overtime as a foreigner, you get sent home. So they don't demand overtime. They work 18 hours a day, and so the employer doesn't have to pay them, you know, overtime. They don't have to pay – the employer doesn't have to pay these folks health care benefits. If they get sick, they get sent home. So, you know, so it's a very risky life for these imported laborers, and Americans simply won't be able to compete.
See, that is the disadvantage. I mean, that's the equal – but is it an equal rights case for the individual that lost their job, or is it for, you know, me? I mean, everybody, every one of us, that they don't have the option of not having to take certain benefits, of not being forced in a position to where they're expensive because they're a U.S. citizen. See, I don't have a problem with if a wave of immigrants want to come over to this country and be cheap labor to do whatever, and I as an employer have an opportunity to, you know, employ them, and I can choose, that's freedom. I mean, to me, that's freedom. It may not be equality, you know, of a redistributing opportunity to everybody, but it's equalness under the law. It's equal opportunity. Yes, you can work this cheap. Yes, you can go eight to a room and you win. I mean, you know, to do that. But, you know, and as hardcore anarchist libertarian that might be, it dispenses with this controlled economic who gets the money, who gets the profit. And I'll tell you who it is. It's the owners of this company. They're using these people as slaves to do what they want, but they have to have government to allow it to happen. They have to have government protect them from not giving them whatever benefits that are required of everybody else. They have to have, they probably have protection against, oh, any one of these guys start talking about unionizing or something. Boy, you get fired quick just as much as you're asking for overtime. So this is, they're always looking to government to protect them. The PR on this to me, to where you get the left, the right, the libertarian, progressives, everybody's on your side on this thing, is they're using your tax money to do it. They're using the force of government to protect these companies and their machine that they got going at the expense of the American taxpayer. But to argue that somehow we owe U.S. citizens a standard of living simply because they're U.S. citizens, that starts going down the dark path, in my opinion. But you have a very good example here of exactly how, if we go down to the root of the problem, or strike it at the root here, is that it is the government doing this, and with our tax money, and making it to where just you're at a disadvantage because you're a U.S. citizen. I don't think I need to be at an advantage. Human beings breathing in and out, once you start classifying people, that's when you start getting into problems. But they are classifying them. They're saying that if you're a U.S. citizen, you're at a disadvantage for getting this job. More than just what standard of living that you're willing to accept, it's they're protecting the contract holder on this from any kind of laws that everybody else would be held up to. I can see it already. So I just want to frame it that way so that we can, you know, really get at the crux of this so you have the best advantage in the PR. Because if you start getting it into progressive and human equality and government should make everybody equal and equal, 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 you're not going to win this argument, because I don't want government freaking deciding who's equal and what's equal. You start going down, that's how you get to these problems. But they're using my money doing this. Now, are there people on the other side? How long has this been going on?
Well, importing of foreign labor has been going on for, gosh, about a century. But what we're talking about right now, where we've started to exclude and employers have the government sanctions, sanctioned ability to exclude Americans, has really been going on since about 1990. And then in 2000, the Department of Labor under George Bush, a lady named Elaine Chao, who was the Secretary of Department of Labor, and just as an aside, was also married to Mitch McConnell, our leading Republican during that time period. That's when the government really got into full force of providing employers with government-sanctioned discrimination. Elaine Chao, as Secretary of Labor, in her strategic report, said that in the view of the U.S. government, the Department of Labor, it was okay for employers to exclude American workers at any time they wanted, which was an interesting statement because Congress had passed the immigration a major reform to immigration rules in 1990 and reaffirmed for the umpteenth time that the sole purpose of the immigration code is to protect Americans and American jobs. So Elaine Chao, with the sanction of the Republican Party through her husband, Mitch McConnell, was really going at direct odds with the federal government. Another interesting aspect of all this is Alan Greenspan. We all know who he is, a former economist and economic advisor to all presidents from Richard Nixon through the second George Bush. And his personal opinion, which he expounds in his last book, Age of Turbulence, and he has said so on many TV interviews, is that Americans are pampered and overpaid, and American business needs to be more competitive from a wage scale point of view, and so government should eliminate all immigration controls and allow the inflow of foreign wage competition unfettered into this country. He admits American standard of living is going to get destroyed, but he thinks that's for the benefit of the U.S. corporations. Now, this is the number one economic advisor to all presidents, including Reagan and Clinton and both Bushes. And so what we have is in the past 3 years, we've had a quadrupling of the number of foreign workers to come in and take American jobs. And again, we know that from the statistics kept by the Department of Homeland Security that, in the good times, the number of immigrants admitted in to take U.S. jobs was approximately 600,000.
Wow.
600,000 to 800,000 a year. For the last 3 years, during the last three years of a depression, that number has tripled and from anywhere from 1.9 million to 2.8 million. 2010, for the calendar year of 2010, the U.S. admitted 2.8 million foreigners to take U.S. jobs. We know that because that's the category that the Department of Homeland Security has put these people in.
No, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Of course they do. This is the point that you're helping us understand this. And I really appreciate it, James, because this is let's give out your website so people can go and make sure and get some more information on it. It's Law Office of James Otto, OTTO.com. Law Office of James Otto. No, James A. Otto, right? Okay, right. It's Law Office of James A. Otto.com. Now, this is my point. Hear me out, and you'll understand where we can focus our PR attention on this thing. You're right. In the Bush administration, for whatever reason, immigration became the source of all evil. And they go, we can't, get rid of them, close the borders, ship out, deport everybody, American job, America. Okay? While they're doing this, shiny object, getting everybody all freaking out about, it's the immigrants' fault, which, I'm a libertarian. I'm just, hey, man, it's a consensual contract. You want to work, human being, fog and mirror, I don't care. The problem is that while they were saying that, at the same time, that was shiny objects up here where you're not paying attention. At the same time, they're giving special little waivers to their buddies to do exactly that for various things. Now, when this is found out, what do they say? You hear it. We just had a story on Freedom's Phoenix a couple of days ago to where it was talking about employers here. They're going, look, man, we need so many tens of thousands of jobs. We can't find people qualified. We need special waiver. It becomes a political issue. We need to have the ability to do exactly what you're talking about, to hire certain people to come here and fill these high-skilled jobs that we can't find anybody because our public school system sucks because it's government. That's a whole other thing. So I'm going, all right, Well, if they got that and they're doing that, that mechanism by which they would bring some over for this high-end, you know, physics professor, PhD, you know, high-energy pulse weapon kind of whatever thing that they're shiny objecting you with is just a tip of the iceberg. That's just a poster child for whatever it is that they want to advocate. That system is also being used to fill in the ranks with what you're talking about, where we have these companies bring all these Chinese and Indian from India citizens coming over here to work and fill healthcare jobs and manual labor and a bunch of other stuff because they work for some government-approved corporation that gets their bucks from the taxpayer that then they funnel just enough over to some congressman and filter it out amongst the people so that they get preferential treatment in hiring people other than U.S. citizens. At the same time that they're screaming about other citizens of other countries getting our jobs. It's like Uncle Sam suffers from cognitive dissonance to the point that his eyes are crossed. I get it. So my thing is, I'm going, okay, when you look at these permits, when you see, does it segment it out to exactly, is that public information of where these people come from? What jobs they're doing, how they're classified, what company they're working for, how much information do you get?
Well, the Department of Homeland Security, well, let me start off this way. You can get all that information from various sources. The Department of Homeland Security only tracks the category of the person who comes in. For example, are you a student coming in on a student visa? Are you a tourist coming in on a tourist visa? And if you're a foreigner coming in to work in the United States, you have to have a job with a U.S. employer. So in other words, these folks are getting jobs while they're still living in you know, their homeland, and they're getting in jobs from U.S. employers. That's why they're coming into the United States. So we know under the line item of the Department of Homeland Security's report that these are foreign workers coming in to work in the United States because they have jobs here in the United States. To answer other questions you've brought up, you know, is there really a need for these workers? Is there really a shortage of U.S. workers? And there are studies done by numerous universities, and the latest was done by Duke University, but unfortunately the latest was 2004, and it said that the United States produces 130% more workers, potential employees, than there is a need for, 130% more. So there is not a shortage. I cannot find one iota of evidence to suggest that there has ever been a shortage of U.S. workers. Well, actually, I take that back. I'll correct myself. In the 1960s and early 70s, there was a shortage of nurses in the United States, where we had to import some nurses to fill that.
See, I don't see that there's a shortage. I don't buy that either. I mean, of course, they're making this as a poster child for whatever the heck it is that they want to do to make money. Because, you know, the free market supply, you know what? We got a shortage. Guess what? Nurses make a bunch of money. All of a sudden, within 3 years, you got a whole bunch load more nurses. You know, they're saying, you know what? I've been making me some money. And then all of a sudden, you have a glut. Then it goes down, then up and down. Right. It's called the free market. You know, but sure. You got to let it operate. Get out of the freaking way. Quit trying to manage the supply and the demand, and you're turning dials all the time. And that's how we get into these situations to begin with. The best regulator of this kind of stuff is the free market. Leave it alone. But
an example.
Then you get into the education thing, the quality of the education, tuition skyrocket. You have debt of the students coming out with $1 gazillion in debt. They become a slave to the banks. They can never pay this off. Oh, by the way, they're competing with foreigners in your situation coming over, taking their job because some corporation made a deal with the government that they get to hire people that are still living in a foreign country. Get their little piece of paper and waiver, bring them over here, and replace the people that now have this debt. And there's no, I get it. I understand. I'm just trying to find a principled solution to this. What would be your solution? And what is your remedy? What are you asking for on behalf of your client?
Well, what we're asking for on behalf of these clients is simply that they remain employed. Okay? I mean, the courts could order that Molina Healthcare hire them back. Which would certainly put a lot of foreigners out of work. And in fact, that would be a wonderful solution, in my opinion, for the rest of the country. Right now, as we speak, there are approximately just less than 1 million foreign workers here on what is known as an H-1B visa. 1 million jobs could be opened up tomorrow, as long as if the president were to say that, you know, H-1B visas are no longer valid anymore, and you would put 1 million workers back to work, 1 million American workers back to work overnight. You know, it'd be tough on the foreigners who came over, but
and the companies that have them in position. I imagine they go, hey man, I have this guy working here because I want this guy working here. You know,
sure.
So it's I understand your point. I'm not advocating just see. It's all about pieces of paper. It's about permits. It's about government bureaucratic management. And I don't want them doing it. I want to be able to hire anybody from anywhere to do anything that I want because it's my freaking job. And the second that I'm told that I can't do something or I have to do something, then it's not my company anymore. It belongs to the government. The problem is that you have a perfect example here to get everybody on your side is because they're putting a gun to my head, taking my money, and spending it in this way, disadvantaging the U.S. worker by having a waiver or permit or allowing this to be done for a company that's hiring people in other countries to come here and live in a bunkhouse so that they can compete and they're happy. You know, I've seen this happen. You take a cruise. You know, you have, you know, the crew on these cruise ships, they have a family back in the Philippines or Indonesia or whatever, and they'll live in small areas. They work very hard, and they make good money by comparison to where they're living, and they are really – I talked to these people, and I went on a cruise this last summer, a friend getting married, and, you know, we're a bunch of libertarians, so we're asking these very questions. And their situation is that they work cheap, because it can supply resources for an entire family for a year. This one, oh my goodness, they take the most industrious of them and they ship them off literally on a ship to be able to supply the resources for an entire family or even a village. And you go, okay, you know, should that be made illegal? Should we say, no, you can't have a Nike shoe factory in here because it's like, you know, sweat labor and you use 9-year-old kids as opposed to the 9-year-old kid living in the gutter. You know, so I don't like government getting involved in this stuff. Every time you try for some noble reason or to save American jobs or whatever. But where you have me on your side is that they're using force, coercion, taking control. And when you mix government and business to the point you can't tell the difference between the two, that is the very definition of fascism. And what they've done is they've taken over the job and they say, not only are we regulating in such a way and licensing and so on that you can't even help your neighbor with health care. You're a nurse. We have a group. It's called Free Aid, FR33, the reverse E, you know, and the love evolution kind of thing. It's FR33aid.com. And it's a bunch of doctors and nurses and supplies. People have accumulated their wealth and resources to help people in need with health care without any regulation. All of a sudden, you'd have, oh, no, you can't do that. By doing that, you're competing with the American workers here. You can be making the exact same argument for protecting nurses that have the training and the licensing and all this other stuff because you have a free market solution bypassing them. Well, I don't have a problem with the people supplying people with what they know. It's barter. They're, you know, being humanitarians. But the mindset that we have to support this government system somehow is where the problem is. So I have to ask you, as you go through this process where you're going to disadvantage to these nurses that are being replaced with these Indian counterparts that are coming in and Chinese counterparts that are coming and taking their jobs, what if it was from the other side of people that aren't even registered nurses? Or were and retired, or doctors just want to open a free clinic down the road, all of a sudden they're competing them out of a job there. Would you be as supportive of the people just supplying people with health care and not have to go through all the bureaucracy? You see my point?
Yeah, I do. And I guess my answer is this, is that I am a number one believer in free trade and open competition. If government has a role, it should be a very small role, and it should just maintain, government should maintain that everything is equal. Keep the situations equal.
Okay, define that, though. Equal. I mean, is it distribution of equal, everybody, I mean, define equal. What do you mean government keep things equal? Well, what does that mean?
That means, for example, the civil rights laws are based on the concept that everybody should compete with their own talents, but employers should not consider some peripheral issue. Is the color of the skin really an indicator of how good a worker you are? And I think everybody would say no. You know, your race is not an indicator of how good you are. Is your gender, whether you're male or female, is that an indicator of how good a worker you are? And no, it's not. So government has said in the civil rights laws that these certain things, disabilities or certain, you know, gender or race, national origin, these are not legitimate business reasons to judge one person over another.
Why?
Now, because it doesn't contribute to anybody's ability to work.
In the government's opinion. I want to make sure that we understand. Let's dwell on this point a little bit so we don't get, because I want to make sure that we're supporting your effort here.
Uh-huh.
You have to understand, that was a big thing when Rand Paul, Dr. Ron Paul's son, when he was running for Senate in Kentucky, they go, you know, something about civil rights thing. He goes, well, I don't think the civil rights law should have been. Oh, it was a big furor. I mean, they freaked out. Oh, my goodness, why would you even say that? And the point that he was making is, and a lot of people, and I'm glad it's starting to get some attention, is I grew up in the South. My father had a business in the South, and, you know, I know how the racial thing was going. I get it. You know, we tell you all kinds of stories. The point is that do you have a bureaucracy going to someone and say, you cannot discriminate against anyone for fill-in-the-blank reasons? And my thing as an employer, I'm going, you know, I want to be able to discriminate against someone for whatever reason I want. That is the freedom. The problem is when the government did it. You have the government is there to provide equality under the law. You can't have a public park with, you know, separate drinking fountains or bathrooms. You can't have taxpayer-funded, you know, resources that are unequally allocated in education or in access to parks or roads or anything. And certainly the kind of job thing that what you're talking about. To have the government do this is wrong. But for an individual, I reserve the right to hire or associate or have in my business anybody I want for any reason that I want, because then that means that job or service is mine, not the government's. And now if I'm stupid enough to say, you know, certain minorities can't work here or can't, you know, eat at the counter or can't whatever, well, then I pay a free market penalty. You know, there's a boycott. There's culture things. There's, you know, that was not what the problem was. The problem is that a lot of this discrimination was ingrained in the law. They were making it where it was law to discriminate. That was what the problem was. And so I'm going, when you start going down the road that we have laws that prevent people from discriminating, then you got some bureaucrat deciding what discrimination is. And I'm going, you know, that just goes down the dark. That's more of a racial thing. I mean, that's more of an equity thing. That's more, it's ew. Because then you get what you're talking about now, waivers. Oh, well, it's not bad when we give you this piece of paper. And I'm going, no. So I'm looking at this, I'm going, okay, if we discriminate against someone, I need to know, is it the right of an individual, First Amendment right of association, for them to discriminate? Well, I say yes. You can do that, you do it all the time anyway, you know, in your personal life. But when you go into a business and the government says you can't by hiring or who you serve or whatever, you know, we have a guy, he got in a big furor in Texas. He did an advertisement on radio. It was all over the internet. He's advertising his gun training abilities. He's like, oh, train guns and this and learn how and shoot and conceal carry and permits and whatever, unless you're a Muslim. If you're a Muslim, you're not allowed. And they made a big deal out of this. And I'm going, well, you know, it's his service. He can pick who he wants. He thought it got him a lot of attention. And I'm going, it's amazing that, you know, no, you can't discriminate. You have to give your gun training to Muslims. I mean, that would be the argument. And I'm going, it just sounds stupid on its face. It's his thing. Let him do what he wants. So this is my point. When you get down to trying to equate equality for everybody in some way. You put a bureaucracy in charge of that as opposed to the individual. I have faith in humanity. Without government, without the coercion, without the collective, without people in committees making decisions, that we have enormous opportunity for everybody, and everybody's treated well, or at least respected, whether you want them at your counter or not. You know, hey, man, I don't want you. Okay, I don't want to be there. You don't want me there. I respect your rights. You own your business. Fine, we'll do our own over here, and which used to happen. I lived in the South to where you had entire, you know, Chinatowns or black communities or Harlem or whatever. It was their own community that was built up, and then you try and equate everything. You have this dependent class, and you destroyed that community. And I'm going, to what benefit? Freedom's the answer. What's the question? So I'm looking at this situation right here with you, and I'm not trying to find, somehow I want the government to make these people that lost their job whole because they're American or because they're white or because they're black or because they got a U.S. citizen, you know, slip. None of that matters to me. I want to know, where is the basic fundamental right that's being violated? And I'll tell you what it is. It is, they took my money by force, and they're giving it with government waivers and permission slips and advantages to companies that are hiring people overseas and taking advantage of their cheap labor to come over and take the jobs away from U.S. taxpayers that funded the program. And I'm going, we got to drill down on that somehow so we can help you. Because I think you're right. This is stupid. It sucks. And it's so counter to exactly what they've been screaming about for the last decade on how we can't have these immigrants taking, you know, American jobs unless they get a permission slip from us, which, oh, by the way, they pay for with congressional contributions. I mean, how far off am I?
Well, you're actually spot on. One other point I'd like to make is that, you know, I believe it was about 2009, Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, and she authorized the spending of some $20 million to build a school in Sri Lanka to graduate IT professionals, you know, students who are educated in software.
Oh, if that isn't a neon flashing example of what I'm talking about.
Well, hold on one. And then the purpose of this school was so that these students, and this is what, you know, the Department of State said, the purpose of the school is so that these graduates from Sri Lanka could come to the United States and compete with U.S. workers.
Wow. Wow. Is this neon flashing exactly what I'm talking about? They're taking my money to take my jobs away. Intentionally, by directive, as a foreign policy. I don't know what they get for this. You know, somebody gets paid a bunch of money and it gets redistributed because they can. You know, and of course, probably a naval base probably wouldn't hurt. So I'm going, okay, I get it. It's always somebody else. And the whole purpose for government, in my opinion, and what the promise was for this country, this was the promise. It is there to protect your individual rights, to discriminate, to be free, to own the job that you created for somebody to use their labor. And if they want to collect a bargain with other people, fine. But I'm not going to have government protect their job that I can't give it to somebody else. You want to be collective bargain, knock yourself out. And if you got special skills, well, then you got some hand. If not, you know, life sucks. I just, you know, this is so perfect example of what I'm talking about. They're taking the money, going to another country, training the people to fill jobs here because it makes some special interest, friend, buddy, contributor, company money, and everybody inside the diseased Mordor on the Potomac benefit from this at our expense. This is the PR battle. That is the example of, oh, man, are you freaking kidding me? So to argue that the worker has some kind of, it's their job to whether it goes to someone else to do it or not is not true. The worker, their labor is theirs. That is theirs. This is my labor. Now, they've taken it away from me. I don't know how you can argue to get the job back, but you can sure as heck expose what's going on. And I'll tell you where your benefit's going to come from. When this gets exposed, when you start pointing out exactly what you just told me, Hillary Clinton goes in, they pay for a school, they train the people, to be employed by these companies that are special interest to them, to come over and take these jobs. That starts coming out in a wide way, which I can help with. Guess what happens? You know what? You can have your job back. Don't tell anybody, okay? You know, we have a non-disclosure agreement. Because that's what it comes down to. They don't want people to know that you as you have the Republican presidential race going on right now, and I keep hearing this coming up, but they always couch it not in terms of what you're talking about, of them training people in foreign countries to do this at, you know, lower levels of education or, you know, service jobs and so on. They're always talking about, oh, well, you know, we would lose our competitive edge in our computer, high tech, Uber, whatever, if we didn't, you know, have the ability to get this PhD from, you know, China to come over here and, you know, share his wisdom with us, which says a lot about our education system. A whole nother story. So you can see the PR, if you couch it in those terms, they're not going to win this argument. They can't. It's so, you know, just that Hillary thing right there, man, that's what I'd lead off with.
Well, and there's other aspects of this too.
Tell me more.
For example, it used to be the government's excuse for allowing this. It used to be that there weren't enough U.S. graduates. And then these studies came out and said, well, there's 130% more than we need. Okay, and so that went by the wayside. Then they started blaming the elementary schools. And then recently there was a study done that showed U.S. students compared to the rest of the world didn't rank number one, but never came in lower than number 10. We were always at least in the top 10 in our math and sciences. And so that idea has kind of gone by the wayside. And now what you're going to start hearing, and we're hearing more from the U.S. government, is this term income inequality. And a lot of the business advice professionals are using that to explain why you need to import is income inequality. What that means, and that was a phrase coined by Alan Greenspan. He said, Americans have income inequality. That means we make too much money compared to the rest of the world, and therefore we should open up our borders and allow foreigners to come into this country. Now the U.S., and especially the U.S. government, is starting to use that term because all the other stuff has been shot down, and now it's become income inequality, which means it's this undefined problem that usually what you hear speakers talking about when they start saying income inequality really don't define the term. Well, Greenspan, who coined the phrase, defined it as the fact that American salaries are too high compared to the rest of the world, and therefore the government should take some steps to reduce that. And that's what he did as the economic advisor to the U.S. government. He's persuaded the U.S. government to step in and allow foreign laborers to come in and compete with U.S. job earners. And competition is not bad. I am a number one capitalist, okay? I've been a capitalist for the first 58 years of my life. But to have competition, it has to be two-sided. And in our present situation, the government is not allowing American workers to compete. They're allowing the government, our U.S. government, has allowed U.S. employers to bring in even surreptitiously, you know, under cover of night, the foreign workers and pay them these low wage scales. American workers are still the best. You survey all American employers and they're going to tell you American workers are still number one. They'd rather have American workers than anybody else in the world. But then boardrooms, corporate boardrooms, want to increase the profit. They want to reduce wages. Well, my opinion is that if corporations really want to do that, then do it in the open, do it honestly. Go to the American workers and say, you know, we got to reduce these wages. We got to.
This, I don't care whether they are or are not the best, most trained, most whatever, or it's not even the point with me. If I had a dream come true and you eliminate the Department of Education, you eliminate all these subsidies in tuition, which is why tuitions go up and you have such a big debt. They say, oh, yeah, we're going to give you government-guaranteed loans to whatever. Oh, yeah, yes, stamp approved, yeah, subprime, whatever. You're 18 years old, you don't know squat, and you haven't proved yourself for anything. Oh, but you can have $100,000 to go to school. Oh, and they gave $100,000. Well, how can we make it $120,000 and you got to still work? And you blah, 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 blah. They come out with this debt that the amount of payments that they got to make to this debt for their education is equal to what the other people will plain work for. You know, they're going, well, of course they can't you know, afford these people because they can't pay them enough to even pay off their debt for the training they got to do the job. So I'm going, you know, and then you do away with child labor laws and so on. I had a restaurant for about 5 years, and my four children that are now 22 to 26 grew up in this restaurant. 1 year, my youngest, because the others were in private school and I didn't want her off, you know, not supervised by at least a sibling, she was homeschooled 1 year and she learned nothing but the restaurant business. She tutored in the morning. 2 days a week, she went and worked at the animal hospital because every 12-year-old wants to be a veterinarian. You know, she goes through that process. She worked at work, apprenticeships. You do away with all this. And I've had, you know, the government agencies come to me. Where are the children? I go, hey, you know what the law is? If they're my kids or my grandkids, you don't have jurisdiction. Have a nice freaking day. Okay? Now, the thing is that they're saying that they're going to be able to educate and train and prepare for life my children better than I can. Right off the bat, I go, you're going to be telling a libertarian that you're seriously with a straight face? You want to battle? Well, finally, they back down. But the point is I'm going, the ability for us to train the next generation can happen in a heartbeat. That you just get away from all of this, what age that you can train people. What if we had American children, young children, going, you know, a day at work with mom or dad? How about a year at work with mom and dad? How about being able to actually learn something? What happens? Oh, no, we have, just like you complain about people from the Philippines or China or wherever taking jobs, the children are taking the jobs. Well, if they can do it, then what do you care? You know, in a free society, what happens? We grow up with trained people, young adults. I have these at a private school my kids went to, Christian school. We are the poor kids. And, you know, we had a lot of good friends. They had a real good time there, and everything worked out great. But I tell you, you know, I go, look at these kids. This is your competition. Are they ready when they get out of school with all this debt? Do you think they're going to be able to survive on their own? Do you think that they're going to be able to even know what the heck they even how to pay a bill? Do you think that these people are going to be able to make car payments and school payments? Do you think that this is your competition? This is how they're raised. They're dependent on their family and parents and some law and, you know, group that they're going to whatever. Do you think they're ready? Of course they're not. So this is more government is what causes this. So I'm going, stop. I tell you, it's all going to come down anyway. There's no stopping it. You cannot keep supporting this. So I'm going, all right. So here we have the income inequality. And I want to tell you this one short story. I interviewed in, I think it was 04, it was Reuben or Pearl. I can't, it's in the government, as the Clinton administration, one of them. I can't remember, I keep getting them confused. I interviewed both of them. One of them had a book, and I was interviewing, it was Reuben or Pearl, I can't remember. And I'm interviewing them, and you just looked in, they're thumbed through the book and everything, and this is how the interview went. In the beginning, we have an obligation, we're superpower, we got to whatever. In the back of the book, and they're going on about how out of 6 billion people on the planet, or however many there was at the time, half of them live on less than $3 a day, and a billion or 2 billion people live on less than a dollar a day, and we have an obligation to income equality and make sure everybody has, you know, fresh drinking water and this and that and so on. And I'm going, whoa, time out. Exactly how much of my tax money, how much responsibility do I have as an American citizen to bring up the living standard of the planet? You know, where does that come from? What gun is at my head to do that? How do you, is this a moral thing that you're saying that when Sally Struthers comes up on the TV, I should be sponsoring a kid and sending a voluntary thing? Or is there a gun to my head? Well, of course, they're advocating the gun. Well, this started with this. I mean, this was all part of what you're talking about, this income inequality. It was a wide shotgun spread approach in advocating American exceptionalism, that we are going to make everybody free with the barrel of a gun. You're going to get democracy. You're going to be into the system. And oh, by the way, we're going to train and exploit your cheap labor into here, and American citizens be damned. It's all part of a much larger thing. And it all comes down to not asking the government to fix it and make me equal with them or something. It's to quit trying to decide what's equal. And I'm just, you know, when they go to us and the immigration thing is a big deal here in Arizona. And we just had the president of the Senate that did SB 1070, went back and forth on this immigration thing. He just lost a recall election. The first Arizona legislator in our state history to ever be recalled. And he was president of the Senate. And it was all in this immigration stuff. And they are going, oh, well, you just want, they get advantages because they don't pay this tax or that tax. I'm going, well, hell, I want to be free like them. I don't want them to have to be encumbered like me and enslave everybody. Can I have the option of being free like an illegal immigrant? I vote that. Is that my option? Hell no. You got to be on the grid, under control, in the database, RFID chipped, and you go, oh, and they got to get a card. Well, how do you know they got a card? By checking everybody, whether you got your card on. And that's where we're going. It's more and more government. Stop. So here's an opportunity to have this all brought up in support of what you're doing, James. I'm going, okay, here we have a juicy little tidbit that appeals to the left and the right, the liberty, everybody. But I tell you, for the widest broad appeal, it comes down to they have a program to make equal the entire planet at the expense of the lifestyle of the American citizen, using your tax money to fund foreign schools to train people to take your job, and the profit and benefit goes to the company that pays off the government bureaucrat elitist Mordor on the Potomac to be able to do it at the disadvantage of the very taxpayers that are funding the program. Answer that on Fox News, you scumbags. See my point?
Yeah, I see your point. And government is everywhere. I mean, not only the places you've mentioned, but you know, in the institutions of higher learning, which are supposed to be free. You know, the whole idea is you go to college and you're supposed to be able to think and do what you want, and that way you grow as a human being. But government has crept in there, and here's the example is that the immigration categories were enlarged to include easier access for foreign students into colleges, and now it's been enlarged again and created programs called optional practical training program and curriculum practical training for foreign students only, so that they have the first shot at U.S. jobs. You could go online and you know, there's websites everywhere that are, you know, nothing more than glorified employment agencies, but all they handle are these OPTs and CPT jobs for foreign students and American corporations across the country. And this is all started by our government saying that we want to start training foreign students and get them, you know, ingrained or initiated into U.S. economy. But what's happening is because of the government visa program, the student visas are so easy to get. Foreigners come over here, they get into school, and then they immediately get job offers to go work for some U.S. corporation. And you know, it's so insidious, because it's a clear way to discriminate against American students and American workers. Okay, I mean, Americans don't get the same benefit, the same preference. And I hope that's another example of what you were talking about as far as the government. You know, how do you tell discrimination? Because the government's doing it. You know, the government discriminates more than anybody else.
Well, they have to discriminate. I mean, if the government gets involved immediately, it's a decision that discriminates. It's like somebody gets an advantage and somebody doesn't. We're going to force something on somebody instead of doing their job, which was the protection of individual rights. And in that one person, your client comes up and says, hey man, I need government protection because my individual rights are being violated. Okay, what is your individual right that's being violated? Well, I would start right back, well, you took my freaking money by force and gave it to them as an advantage to put me out of work. Done. I mean, you know, right off the bat, we're done right there. You took my money and then gave it to them. You know, and however you make that connection, you win, man.
Exactly what the government's doing. You know, they're just taking our tax dollars and they're creating these programs for the benefit of the rest of the world. And you know, my clients are now the end result of that, where my clients lose their livelihood, lose their life, work, lose the American dream, because the U.S. government has decided that it's more important to import foreign labor to equalize income across the world. You know, so Americans make too much money. That's income inequality. That's what, you know, that buzzword is meant to be, is that Americans make too much money. And so through our tax dollars, we are now building schools in foreign countries to educate students to qualify for, you know, these employment visas to come over and take U.S. jobs.
You got to lead your press release for that, man. I mean, that's going to get you on Fox News. I mean, but you know, I know what's going to happen. You know, the Bush administration has all kinds of their own problems. They're part of this. So it's, but I tell you, that's why I wanted to have you on, because I wanted to understand. Yes, I understand that, you know, here you have foreign workers, because when we first got, I wanted to understand, is this all about people shipping off IT support to India? And I'm calling to, oh, thank you for calling. We were going to, you know, to help you with your computer. You know, like, I care, you know, as long as I can understand them. And if it's bad customer service, fine, I go to the next one. Heck, I don't care if they help me with my freaking problem, man. They win. But that's not what's going on. Tax money, training these people to take over the jobs, them working for companies that hire them to come over. They get their profit and then redistribute it to the elite class to make sure they can keep doing this circle about how they're ripping me off, you know, as a taxpayer. That right there in one paragraph, boom. Boom, 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 you win. But for your client, what is the redress that you're looking for? You're saying, look, I want my job back because you're treating me unequal. You're giving, you know, I still want to hear your argument. How is that going to be addressed?
Well, it's addressed through the laws of the United States, which I suppose you could say are interference with other people's rights, but there's still the laws. And the civil rights laws say you cannot take adverse employment action against an individual because of, among other things, his national origin. And that's exactly what happened here. So my clients were damaged, were harmed. You know, they lost their jobs, they lost their house, they lost their marriages. Their life was just, you know, crumbled, crushed in front of them. And Molina Healthcare knew that would happen. Okay, Cognizant Technologies knows that happens. They do it across the country. And so what I want is that my clients get made whole. For whatever loss they suffered, they should get that money back.
Is there legislation somewhere that says you can't, I mean, if there's not, there should be. Is there somewhere that it says you can't use taxpayer funds to... Yeah, it's called the Bill of Rights, man. It's called, you know, the Declaration of Independence. You can't use government to diminish the rights of an individual. Or it's the 14th Amendment, Equal Protection Clause. You can't give special rights or privileges to one that doesn't equally apply to everybody else. There you go.
Correct, yes.
Okay, you win. There it is, right there. Because I've used that before in different court cases we have. But, and, you know, 14th Amendment says, now whether you're a big fan of 14th Amendment or not, that's a whole other issue. But it's, you cannot give special rights or privileges to any individual that doesn't equally apply to everyone else. You're done right there. Did they get special rights or privileges to other individuals that did not equally apply to your client? 14th Amendment, you win.
I guess we win. That's exactly what happened. That's what I mentioned earlier in this interview is that American workers are being segregated out of the workforce, and that's what's happening. And during our conversation, I hope that's the message that's come out to the listeners, is that the government has created these preferences for foreign workers. To bring them in is very easy. To give them jobs is very easy, and it's all done over, you know, over the rights, to trample on the rights of American citizens. Okay, so yeah, these individuals coming from overseas, as nice as they may be, and they're doing it for, you know, the reasons to help their family and such things, but they're coming in on preferences created by the government and are taking American jobs and are allowed to take American jobs because of U.S. government permission. And the government has even gone one step further, as they've created inroads into our universities to take American jobs away from American students, and they've even gone overseas to spend U.S. taxpayer money to create schools overseas so they qualify for these visa preferences and can then be imported into the United States to take away even more U.S. jobs. And there are now at least 8 U.S. corporations, which I call body shops, because they may be incorporated in the U.S., but they're owned by Indian nationals, and their sole reason to being is to import the foreign laborers into the United States. And these folks are using tax, these body shops are using taxpayers' money to spread the foreign labor across the United States. For example, Cognizant replaced about at least over 200 U.S. workers in Molina Healthcare. Okay, they've gone to Xerox, and as we speak, they're replacing 2,600 U.S. workers with 2,600 Indian foreigners because of American government preferences. They've done this in Virginia, and these other seven body shops are throughout the United States doing that as we speak. And you know, also as we speak, these body shops, as they import people, they find a way to break the law. For example, Infosys is an Indian body shop, and they're under grand jury investigation down in Texas because they used visas illegally to bring people in, and then they were asking an American worker to verify the illegalities or to use the illegalities to bring in more foreign workers. And he said no. He stood up for his right and said no. And now there's a grand jury investigation going on down there. You know, Cognizant Technology Solutions, who I've been talking about, has been fined over $500 million by various state authorities because they don't pay their workers. All right. So maybe all of this is too much government intrusion into individual freedoms, but I just want to convey the idea of what is going on out there. What kind of individuals are we dealing with? You know, these are people who don't want to obey American laws, but the government, the U.S. government, is going out of its way to find ways to make it easier for them to continue to act in this manner. So instead of enforcing the law, the government simply changes the law. You know, for example, you know, Cognizant or any of these body shops who want – any employer who wants to bring over a foreigner has to get the permission of the Department of Labor. So the Secretary of Labor used to, back before 1990, used to investigate to make sure that these foreigners were educated. They actually had a college degree. They were highly trained and specialized in a specific profession. You know, today, the Secretary of Labor, you know, thanks to Elaine Chao and Mitch McConnell, now does not have the right to investigate. The Secretary of Labor has been directed to simply sign off on these applications, and they bring in people who are underqualified. So the U.S. government has found a way to allow unqualified foreigners to come in and take U.S. jobs. And what has happened is, case after case I've looked at, example after example, all across this country, what happens is the American worker, the competent American worker, is forced to train the incompetent foreigner who's coming in to replace him. Okay, and it's really just a nutsy situation. And I think you're really spot on when you say it exists. The government acts this way. The government's created these preferences because they make money from these corporations. Each one of these body shops has revenues of over $5 billion a year. It's a huge business. It's taken away a lot of American jobs. And, you know, I think the government needs to step in and stop it. Unfortunately, we need more government involvement to stop this huge situation, which was created by government involvement in the first place. But you know,
I need them to just stop. I mean, this is all going to come down to stop granting special rights and privileges to individuals, especially to corporations, at the expense of individuals. I mean, I'm for, you know, going, including that in your, I mean, you want to get into the federal courts on way up on the line here. When you start making the case that it is an equal rights protection violation, that you have government tax money of the taxpayers being used to disadvantage the rights of the individual, you know, to benefit, you know, anyone else, much less corporations that hire foreign people. I mean, just the PR standpoint of that alone kicks their ass, you know. And this, and in our conversation while you're talking, I'm looking this stuff up because I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was Robert Rubin, okay, that wrote the book, you know, from Wall Street. Let's see, what was it? It was from, I'm trying to get the title of the book. But it was, what it was is, he was the one that wrote this book and started using the phrase that you're talking about. In an uncertain world, you know, it was tough choices from Wall Street to Washington. And it was written in, I think, 03. And that book, it was the one I was interviewing him when he had all this stuff. And it was weird. I'm like, wow, I can't believe, you know, and here's, you know, all these guys from Goldman Sachs, and they're in the Clinton administration, and they're doing, and they're making, using these phrases like you were talking about, this income inequality thing. And it was justification for the American worker to take a lower standard of living to benefit, instead of being an example, instead of being a light, instead of being, you know, how great our lifestyle is due to a lack of government intervention. They were going to use government intervention in this country to force money and resources from us to redistribute to the rest of the world because we're heck of human beings. No, it was to benefit their special interest, and exactly what you're talking about. This has been a long time campaign to do this in the name of equality for everybody. They're taking, and you don't mind if they get their cut, and this is their argument, of course, to equate the entire world, and we all go into a massive depression like we are now because of government. If you just got out of the way, we'd be the Jetsons right now flying around in our little hovermobiles. I'm serious. This is it's because of this. And the concept that is easily identifiable, that's most violated, is that they're taking from individuals like your clients and they're redistributing it to the benefit of someone else. If that isn't a direct violation of the Equal Protection Clause, I don't know what is.
Oh, yeah. And it is all for the purpose of corporations. You know, you go back over the last 3 years. You know, we've been, since about 2008, we've been in a very severe depression. Some people call it recession. You know, frankly, I think our economic situation matches the definition of a depression. But whether it's depression or recession, we know we have some 8 million U.S. workers out of work because of this economic condition. And yet, according to the Department of Homeland Security, their records show we've admitted almost 7 million foreign workers. And to me, there's some type of disconnect when you think we've got almost, you know, we have like at least 8 million unemployed U.S. workers, and we're importing 7 million brand new foreign workers. And the corporations, thanks to this government interference, have now suffered through record profitable years during the middle of this long, long recession or depression. I mean, how does a corporation continue to make money when they don't have workers? They laid them all off in 2007, 2008, 2009. They're not rehiring Americans. Who are they hiring? Well, you just look at the Department of Homeland Security numbers. These are foreigners who have to have U.S. jobs in order to come to the United States. They're not coming and looking. They've come with a job in their hand. That's the reason why they get admitted. So corporations are using the government preferences to put you, to keep Americans out of work, or to put more out of work. And that's the government interference, and that's the government preference that you were mentioning earlier.
Okay, so this case that you have, you've filed it in court, I would imagine.
Yeah, we're filed in Long Beach, or the Los Angeles Superior Court out of Long Beach.
Okay, so it's in a state court.
Correct.
Okay. Why? I mean, how is this a state issue as opposed to a federal issue?
Well, it's actually both. But under what we call the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, states have to follow all federal laws, but the states are allowed to increase the protection to their individuals, for their individual citizens. So California has – so the federal government has what is commonly referred to as Title VII, or the 1964 Civil Rights Act. So California has to follow that, and in doing so, they've increased the protection for California employees through the through the Fair Employment and Housing Act. Okay, and so by prosecuting court in California court, I have access to argue both state law and federal law. The State Civil Rights Act of Fair Employment and Housing Act has to be the same as or more than the federal law. And so I have access to both of that, including through the 14th Amendment, all the federal federal decisions as far as civil rights.
Well, I'm wondering how it can be argued, as you've filed it in the state, and that it could be included, or certainly in the rhetoric and the PR, this very simple concept that they're giving special rights or privileges to others at the expense of individuals. I mean, that is so blatant. And then you add into it that not only are they doing that, they're doing it with your money to the advantage of a foreign citizen. And I'm going, just the PR value of that rhetoric is, you know, enormous.
Well, let me tell you what their response has been. I brought that argument up, and their response has been that it's okay. The government says it's okay. They have the backing of the U.S. government. That's what the Cognizant attorneys, and they've even Cognizant Technologies has even brought me their nationally renowned immigration attorney, and he talked to me, you know, 3 days in a row about how the U.S. government allows them to have preference over, you know, U.S. workers.
Which is the source of the problem that we've been talking about for the past hour. This is my point. That is the freaking point, is that they are using the force of collective, we're going to take your money and do what we want with it government to do this very thing. That is the point.
That's the point. I mean, it's inescapable. It's right there on the face of everything.
Well, that's what you did. Let me know how we can help make a big woohoo out of this. Do you have any articles? Do you write on this? Is there something we can publish that we can? Because I would like, after our conversation here, you can see the direction that I think that our support would come from our readers and people that listen to this show and so on, that if you can incorporate this story and include, you know, this Clinton thing doing foreign aid school and training to take that. I mean, you got, I want that in the first, you know, freaking half of the whatever, man. I mean, damn, you know. So if you can write something, I will do my best to get it out. Let me tell you who we are. Maybe Eileen, your publicist, didn't explain. We're the ones that started the Ron Paul Lovelution. That logo that you saw, the Love logo, was created by us here in Phoenix. And we've been part of the Ron Paul Lovelution from 4 or 5 years ago. And the Lovelutionaries, the free market, voluntarist, libertarian out there advocating for exposing of exactly this kind of thing, would love to sink their teeth into something just like this, just as an example to share with others. So you're right at the root of the grapevine here of an opportunity to expose what's going on here, because it has tentacles that goes all the way back into at least the Clinton administration, Bush and Obama. It's part of a much larger thing. And I remember because Robert Rubin, when he did the book, and it was, I could really taste what was going on. I'm going, man, there's something weird going on. In an uncertain world, tough choices from Wall Street to Washington. I'm pretty sure that was the book. And it was just, I did just like a half hour interview, and it was so clear to me that they were advocating at a high level. I mean, this is, you know, a guy that he was co-chair of Goldman Sachs. And I'm going, and he was Treasury Secretary in the Clinton administration. The center of the hub here, these guys are advocating that Americans must sacrifice their standard of living so that we could supplement everybody else's from 300 million to 6 billion people. How is that even, you know, in the Constitution or have anything to do with the role of government? It's to protect individual rights. And they are sacrificing our individual rights to the benefit of others. And that is blatant special privileges given to at the expense of the individual. And I'm going, this is the idea, the concept, the exposing of decades of this and how the rubber meets the road in your case that you have right now. And I want to help, but I need you to be able to formulate it in such a way that it's concise. But if you're going, and like the attorney from the other side comes up and says, hey, man, we got our permission slip right here from the government. You're confusing me with someone that freaking cares. That's the whole point. That's the problem.
That's what I told him. Not so eloquently, but yeah. I mean, well, yeah, I could provide you with something in writing, and it has been going on for a long time, and you know, you just have to read Alan Greenspan's book, The Age of Turbulence, and I don't mean to drive up his sales, but he states quite clearly that the root of the problem is that government does not try to help corporations enough. All this income inequality is not necessarily for the rest of the world. Greenspan argues that it's for the benefit of U.S. corporations, that we should suffer. We as citizens and workers should lower our standard of living, take a lot less money, and have to compete with the rest of the world because government should give preference to corporations.
Yeah, here's a review of Rubin's book. He wrote it with Jacob Weisberg. And it says, last sentence, although or perhaps because Rubin has extensive experience with financial markets, he does not believe that the market always knows best, but rather that markets sometimes require corrective action by government. Of course he says that. It's a corrective action by government to line and benefit him and his buddies and money. And this is much larger. This is conspiratorial out in the open stuff. You know, this is not easy to hide. It's just they camouflage it with rhetoric. And the bottom line is big, high dollar attorney, you know, comes into your office or you go to his or you're at the court and they say, hey, man, I don't know what your problem is. We got a permission slip from government. That is the argument. That permission slip is the argument. And it becomes political. And in 2012 election cycle, you want to get attention for your case, you start bringing this up in that context of the proper role of government, and I'm telling you, you'll have a supportive ear with guys like Ron Paul. You see what I mean?
Right, yeah. Well, I'll definitely be in touch with you, and I'll get you whatever you need in writing.
I get ulcers in anticipation of your submission.
Okay. this has been... I've been an attorney a long time, and I thought I'd seen everything. I mean, but when this case came to me and I started doing research on it and really got into the depth of the problem, and which led me straight to the White House. And, the presidents are all involved in this, including Obama. And it's amazing that, it's just really
they're
amazing.
Just functionaries. The decision was already made long before in their secret handshake little club, De La We Rule the Planet people. You know, this is to think that doesn't exist is to be naive. You know, and I tell you why they do this stuff. It's because they can. And they can because they control the mechanism of power, the bureaucracies. You know, they're no different than any other empire that goes crashing down. And what happens is the entire system implodes on itself as it's doing right, not later. It's doing it right now. And as this goes down, they'll make even more money. You know, they benefit from, death, dying, and destruction. Good. We make more money. And then they'll, reconstitute it in some other form of government or currency or whatever they're going to wind up doing in the United States or Europe is going to be one thing. And then what they couldn't do with war after the First and Second World War with Germany, they'll do it with debt and finances and all this other stuff. And you get to see it up close and personal on how you have an entire generation next that comes out of college with the enormous amount of debt, no way to compete with this mentality that they're going to just, get cheap labor from somewhere else. No, by the way, you can't bankruptcy and clear this debt off and you are a slave to the man forever, forever. The only chance you have is if you have enormous hyperinflation to where they're finally, one paycheck's going to pay off your whole debt because a loaf of bread costs $20. I mean, we are looking at a certain dire future. And I just had a conversation with Gerald Celente's scheduler this morning. We're going to be having him on December 7th, and he's going to be writing for our January edition of our magazine, which is all going to be about future predictions of 2012. So trendsresearch.com, I mean, you're right off the bat, you're wanting to get some Gerald in there. And I'm telling you, this is going to be very interesting the next year because they can't hold it off anymore. They've run out of dials to turn, and it's all imploding, and it's a philosophical thing. It's not a law legislation, we got our permission slip. It's the fact that they can give a permission slip. That's the problem.
I agree. It's going to be an interesting year for government because once this news gets out, there are 8 million unemployed Americans asking, why am I still unemployed? Where did the jobs go?
Can you put this in an article? How long before if you can get it, we have our December edition goes out Friday night at midnight. If you can get me something before then, I'll include it in this month's edition.
How long do you want it to be?
Till you're boring.
Okay.
I mean, you can go 300 to 3,000 words. I don't care. I've had guys go 9,000, but because it's digital, it's an online digital magazine for tablets. And if you go to Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, at the top right, you'll see a banner ad that promotes the magazine. You can go in there and see all the editions. And, you know, you do this, I will get it. I'll get it out. I'll make sure that, because I think this is such at a time to where the unemployment is a big issue now, and that this is, and if it's, you know, framed in a way that I know that our readers will receive it. Because if you're making the argument that it's not fair, it's not fair, you're, you know, they're hiring foreign to come, you know, they don't care. You know, or the thing is that they're using government to train with my money people in foreign countries to take jobs of people here with their own money. And I'm going, how is this not a big deal? And it certainly is politically. So I can help insert this issue framed properly, and I'm not looking for more government to fix it. I just want them out of that freaking way. And that's what's happening. They're disadvantaging and requiring, and it goes back. It goes back, like you say, with Alan Greenspan, you know, and I remember the interview with Rubin and these guys, and I'm going, man, these guys are crazy. They're jacked up because they are openly advocating for United States citizens to sacrifice their standard of living for a planet of billions of people that live on dollars a day. Somehow that's our responsibility to do it, as opposed to being an inspiration and an incentive and a light on the hill showing them how not to be poor. No, we got to just take from those that have and redistribute to those that don't. And that's the proper role of the U.S. government? Hell no. So I'm, you know, this needs to be sung at the, you know, from the highest pole here. And I want to help. And if you can get me, you know, this information and highlight this, I mean, if you focused on that one story of Clinton, Hillary going over there, opening the school, training the people, the company name that you're dealing with that's taking our tax money to at the disadvantage of U.S. workers here with their own tax money, hiring these people to come over with special government permission, and somehow that's not violating of individual rights, you know, for the benefit of someone else or even a company. You know, I don't know how else you could frame it and have it to be of interest and it become part of the political and even presidential debate.
Okay. Can I get it to you by Wednesday morning?
Yes.
All right. You'll have it before noon Wednesday.
Tomorrow. You the man. That's what we'll go ahead and do. That's how I can help you, James, because I'm telling you, I see this, and we may have a different philosophical view on this and starting off and kind of, you know, it's unfair and it's just, you know, it's ew, but it's more fundamental than that. We are being sold down the river, and it's from a long time ago with Greenspan. And you might as well just say Goldman sucks, man. I mean, these guys just a representation of the, you know, secret handshake people that want to rule the planet. And if it's not them, it'll be another group. There's always somebody that wants to rule the planet. And they're willing to go through death, dying, and destruction in order to do it. And then when it fails and implodes, they'll just start all over again because they made a bunch of money doing it. It's not them that's the problem. It's us. We need to understand, quit asking government to fix this stuff. It's the power for them to fix it that they're using to destroy us. And they'll sit there right in front of you and tell you exactly what they're going to do, why they're going to do it. But nobody ever asks them the question, why is that a good idea to steal from someone to redistribute? How does that ever work? Well, it works for them. You know, this has been good. I'm glad we had this conversation, James, and hopefully we can help, because this is, I think it's just a symptom of a much, much, much larger problem, and it goes drilling right into it. And given the right information out to the right people, I can see it becoming part of the political rhetoric. And this is like, you do this article, we just get it out to all of the congressional races across the planet, and you just need to know this in a concise, got it straight to the core, kind of what's going on. And like, ooh, we want to bring this up in the debate on various levels all over the country. You see my point?
I do. I agree.
James Otto, he's a civil rights attorney in California. His website is lawofficeofjamesaotto.com. And what's the name of the company that is providing the workers?
We're suing Molina Healthcare, Inc. and Cognizant Technology Solutions.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and get that in on the archive for today. And I appreciate you coming on and letting me rant. And I do these kind of interviews oftentimes to help by providing our rhetoric that is what is behind this whole freedom-oriented, libertarian, rising up, Ron Paul representing kind of movement. And it's a fundamental understanding of the proper role of government, and it's not to make it work better. It's to stop getting it from interfering, because this is where it always, always goes. James, it was great having you on, and I appreciate you spending time with me and letting me rant, but it's because I want to help. And we're going to do what we can working with you to make sure this gets out. All right?
Thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure. James Otto, Law Office of James A. Otto, OTTO.com. Oh, yep. We'll keep you informed on this. We'll have some fun. Look forward to the magazine publishing midnight, Friday night. We're going to have that sucker up. Oh, it's going to be another good one. December. Yeah, go look at the cover on the top right of freedomsphoenix.com. Click in the magazine banner ad there, and you'll see the cover. It's very beautiful. Another great cover by Scott Beezer. And we'll be back soon.